Ephesians chapter 2. And you, that is the Christians who are in Ephesus, and you he made alive who were dead, spiritual death, in trespasses and sins, in which you once lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature or by birth children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should live in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the citizenship of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, these two verses that I mentioned, verses 13 and 18, again established a positional truth. The relationship we now have with God through Christ. So let's look at verse 13. But now, and here's these great transition words. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away or far off have been made near or brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Paul lists five things there about us that were true because we were far away from God. And we'll go through that list. And it's interesting that in verses 1 to 3, he lists six things about our being dead, spiritually dead. That the world has us, our own flesh has us, our own mind has us, and we are captives to sin, death, and then to transition, but God saved us. Now he's going to describe our position of total depravity in a little different way, even as it relates to the Israelites. Let's look at that. We were afar off. We've been made near. And he begins in verse 11 to tell us what we once were. He says, we were once Gentiles in the flesh. A Gentile is a person who is not a Jew, not a Hebrew, not Jewish. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. The Jews hated the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews with extreme hatred and jealousy and competition and envy. And so that's why Paul talks about the division, the enmity that was there. And the Gentiles were jealous because God was dealing with Israel. And the Gentiles hated the Jews' parade of self-righteousness, thinking they were better than others. And the Jews called the Gentile dogs. So there is enmity and division. He says, you were once Gentiles. You were uncircumcised. Then he says that you were without Christ, aliens from the citizenship of Israel. Aliens from the commonwealth or the citizenship of Israel. It's a negative thing. You were not among those people to whom God gave the prophets and the law, and in some sense, he wasn't even dealing with the rest of the world from what we know. Of course, he was, but there was a difference. He says, you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You did not know God's word. You weren't reading the prophets. He says, you were having no hope. Now there's a very, very powerful statement theologically and spiritually. It's an awful thing to have no hope. In this world, as a human being, psychologically, it's a terrible thing to have no hope. So there's this list of things that explain the life that is far off from God. Verse 13 teaches us the condition of being a human being in total depravity, far off from God. Now, why do we need to know that? And why would the Apostle Paul labor this truth with these people? Because to appreciate what we now have in Christ is amplified by realizing where we were, what God has saved us from, and what God has saved us to. We were in desperate condition. That's why you can't walk up to strangers and say to people, God loves you, when at that moment the wrath of God is upon them and they're desperate, they're headed for hell. We need to tell them that in the right way and in the right spirit, and not let them be lulled to sleep in thinking that they're okay. They're not okay. They're dead in sin. They're without Christ. They're with God, without God, and they're far off. Verse 13 contains this wonderful transition that Darren mentioned. These two great words in Scripture in verse 4 and verse 13. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, saved us. And now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away or far off have been made near. Thank God. Get those words real in your heart and mind. But God. A but is a conjunction, a connection, but it shows the sharp contrast between what we were and what we are. There is a vast difference between being an unbeliever and a believer. It's like death and life. darkness and light, night and day. There is no middle ground. We are either or. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been made near. What a change. And what a great position we have now. What does this mean, to be made near? Well, it's sort of illustrated in our mind's eye by thinking far away and now near, and that's true. And what is actually expressed here is that we have been brought into the presence of God, into the presence of our Creator, our holy, perfect, pure, almighty Lord God. That's what has happened to us. We are now in a position of being in the presence of God. And notice the wording. You who were far off have been made near. That's by somebody else. Someone outside of us did that for us, did that to us. There is no way a person who is far off from God can take one step toward God. God must do that and bring us near and bring us into His presence. It is not what we do, and it is not because of what we are. It is not our morality. It is not our conduct. It is not our behavior, and it is not our decision. It is God's doing, God's initiating, and God's action to take an unbelieving, non-Christian, far-off person and take them near. Now, this is our position. We are in the presence of God. Do you realize it? Do you believe it? Do you know you live in God's presence? You can't know it unless you get the truth from God's Word. That's why it's good for us to study the Scripture. We now have been made near by the blood of Christ. So we have been made near is one way to express it. In verse 18, Paul expresses it in another way. In verse 18, for through him, that is Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, let me just make an aside here, a little commercial on the side about what's in this passage regarding Jew and Gentile. It has been God's purpose to form one new body of believers, made up of saved Jews and saved Gentiles, so that we are now one in Christ. And it's written, I'm a saved Gentile, but it is improper for me to refer to myself as a Gentile. I don't need to do that. If you are a saved Jew, you don't need to refer to yourself as a saved Jew. We are all one. There is really no more Jew, and there is no more Gentile. We are Christians in Christ, and we have been made one. One in Christ. One body. There's no longer two. That's why Paul refers to it here to say, for through him we both. Who are the both? The Gentiles and the Jews who believe, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. There is not a Holy Spirit for Jewish people and a Holy Spirit for Gentile people. One God, one Christ, one Spirit who gives us access to the Father through Christ. Now let's dwell on this thought of access. We have been made near. We have been brought into the presence of God That is our position. How did that happen? Well, it wasn't through us. And this word access is one of the most important scriptural truths we'll ever consider. We have access into God's presence. We who are unclean, impure in ourselves, can approach the holiness of God. It's sort of, you could include the word introduction. We have an introduction into God's relationship, into God's presence, where we are now acceptable to Him. We are acceptable to God because we come through Christ, who is totally acceptable. And as we study the scripture, we find this. If you are in Christ, if you have become regenerate, and you have been brought from spiritual death to spiritual life, you are as acceptable to God, the Father, as is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We are accepted in the Beloved, as Derek read in Ephesians 1. Christ is the Beloved. He is beloved by the Father, and He loves us in Christ. So access and acceptance are big words. It's important that we have God's acceptance. And it becomes a big word with us in relationship. I have to know you accept me, or we don't have a relationship. You have to know I accept you, or we don't have a relationship. Acceptance is psychologically necessary for us humans. Spiritually, acceptance is vital. You have to know God accepts you, or you can't pray, you can't have communion, you can't get anything out of Scripture. There's a wall there that separates. You have to know it from the Scripture. It doesn't come because you're good enough, or that you have done something wonderful, or you've made yourself acceptable. It's the relationship. The problem with us is that we, when we start thinking about these things, we always start with self, how we're feeling, what's going on in our circumstances, instead of flying to our position, which has been established in Christ and keeps us in God's presence and keeps us acceptable to Him. We have access. What a wonderful, glorious truth. It's illustrated in the life of the Israelites as they built the tabernacle and as God established the priesthood. So that the tabernacle has an outer court, an inner court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. The people were not allowed into the holy place. Only the priests. Only one person is allowed into the Holy of Holies, another compartment where the Ark of the Covenant is. And that high priest could only go there one day a year, the Day of Atonement, and sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. And he was equipped with a robe that had bells at the feet so that the people could hear that he wasn't slain by the holiness of God, and they could hear him walking out. People under the law were not invited to come to God. When God met Moses on the mountain, he said, put a boundary around them. Don't let the people come near. Have them stay away. If someone touches this mountain, they're gone. The holiness of God was so awesome, God wanted to teach us that to be in His presence is an awesome privilege of his grace. The gospel changed. Stay away to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we have a transition, and we have access to God. And notice that he says this access to God is through the blood of Christ. For through him we both have access to God through the blood of Christ. So let's look at some negatives about that. Our access to God is not by our nature. Not because we think we are good or moral. In fact, listen to this carefully. Not because it's my truth, but because it's biblical truth. There is no greater denial of the Christian gospel than to depend on morality for access to God. No greater denial. If the world thinks, and many Christians teach, that we look at our moral life, and when we become right moral, then we are acceptable to God. That is a denial of the gospel. We are far off, and we can go to God not because of anything of us. Now, neither is it because of good deeds. The self-atonement idea. To think that we can do some things that will make us acceptable. It is not that. It is not because we can be religious or go through certain motions of doing certain religious exercises of fasting or sweating or bleeding or whatever people might do to try to become acceptable. Another thing, it's not by way of mysticism, which is the current popular approach by the world promoted by New Age. New Age is a mysticism which says this: look into yourself. Go deeper into yourself. Get in a place and relax and think about yourself. And that will give you access to God, because you will learn that you are God. That's New Age. That's mysticism. It's so common in our pop psychology, in our philosophy, in what is being taught today, that not only you are God, the earth is God, and as you concentrate and stretch and relax, you can hypnotize yourself and sink into God. It is not that, that it's our acceptance. And that also teaches there's no mediator necessary. We are have access to God through the blood of Christ. Follow the example of Jesus. You know what his example does to you and me? It only condemns. We are so far short of him. There is no way of thinking about following his example. There is one way into the holiest, explained by the writers of the Hebrews, and it is through his blood. And it is the Holy Spirit who marks us with the blood of Christ. That is his seal. He puts a seal upon us spiritually that marks us out as one who has the blood of Christ covering the sin. And there's one mark that gives us access into God's presence, and that's the mark of the blood of Christ. Again, with the Israelites in Egypt, the Lord God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when I see your goodness, not when I see your good deeds, not when I see how happy you are, but when I see the blood. No other mark. And there can be no other mark upon our life that takes away our sin and gives us access to the Father. Well, this is a big subject, that takes the rest of our life to study this for. If this is true, you believe that this morning, that you've been made near to God by being brought into the presence of God, and you believe you have access to the Father through the blood of Christ, how do you respond? How does the Bible tell us to respond? There are two verses in Hebrews that give us great guidance, where we are told to come confidently to the throne of grace. And we can do that because of the truth. We can't do that because of ourselves. We come confidently this morning as believers to worship our Lord God Almighty. And then the writer says, come with the full assurance of faith. Is the blood of Christ adequate for God to accept me into his presence? Yes, it is, now and forever. So we respond this morning in worship to thank God for our glorious position which his grace has given us. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you, and we worship you this morning for providing a way for us who were far away and who were among this list of things in our total depravity, that you have brought us into your holy presence, there to live and there to abide and there to remain. We respond to worship. Thank you and praise you and serve you with our life. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.